Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Let's freaking go. LSU gets it done. Can we pick apart this game from so many different angles? We can. But big shout out to Trey Des Green, who is in a slump after the knee injury. He steps up and carries us to a victory. We could talk all we want about the third down early in the game. Should he have sat down right there? I don't know. I don't care. The five-star gives you a five-star performance. And then, of course, Mansoor Delane, seatbelts, wide receivers for the entire game, and goodness gracious, Blake Baker steps up in a major way. So we're going to recap the game, and then, of course, we're going to talk about the bad. But if we win, I always want to be as positive as we possibly can to start things off. And, of course, this is another feather in the cap of Blake Baker. Of course, we give up one super-duper long touchdown early in the game. We could talk about whose job it actually should have been to hold that backside B-gap. I don't care. Outside of that, the LSU defense was phenomenal. They were really good at the end of game situations. We were able to not give up a touchdown at the end of that first half. At the end of the game, we were able to shut the door on South Carolina. We were very aggressive, forcing turnovers to the point where Lenore Sellers didn't want any more of what Blake Baker was giving him. Fourth down, check down after fourth down, check down. A fourth down, check down. Are you freaking kidding me, LSU? This defense is still the best in the Southeastern Conference, and it's going to keep you in games. Another positive. How about true freshman Walter Mathis stepping up in a major way? How about the entire LSU defensive line? This was the best performance from our defensive line. What was the conversation heading into the game? It's keep and contain on Lenore Sellers. So good stuff from the D-line, providing pressure. Yes, Sellers broke some tackles. Yes, he was able to run this way and that way. But we made those tackles tough for him to break. So, yes, you will see a lot of broken tackles in the advanced reports and our grades that we give out on Patreon and all that stuff. But you have to give the LSU defense a lot of credit. They battled. They were the more physical team. And the hidden defender is, of course, the Tiger Stadium crowd. When the Tiger Stadium crowd is at your back, nobody can beat it, okay? That's why it's so important in these end-of-game spots to always, always keep that crowd on your side. Always. So, Tiger Stadium, a lot of credit to you. You are so damn loud. You're able to heavily affect the outcome of this game. So many false start penalties on their offensive line. You had a good pressure from Jamari Butler. Patrick Payton was making plays all game long. Harold Perkins had himself a good game. Got a little sloppy in the second half, but he played so many snaps. So there you go. Now, we go to the offensive side of the football. You know, I was very critical of Trey Des Green's first half versus Ole Miss. It was really tough, but we were also using him as a tight end. Y'all, Trey Des Green is not a tight end. He is a freak of nature. He is a tight end, wide receiver hybrid. He is a jump ball guy. You just need to throw it up and let him go out there and make plays. Were there a few instances you would like the connection to be a little bit smoother? Yes, at the end of the first half, you would like to see him bring that down. Also, you would the third down play, whatever. But he was so damn good in this game. In the red zone, that should be a play. The jump ball to Trey Des Green in the red zone. And I hate goal line fades. That is exactly what it is. But guess what? It works. It works. And it's a safer throw that Garrett Nussmeier cannot throw an interception on. So a really, really, really good stuff from Trey Des Green in this game. Then, of course, you get to Braylon Moore, the center, had some really good moments in this game. Really good moments. Overall, though, this LSU offensive line was not so great. The offensive guard play continues to be a massive problem. The offensive tackle play, it wasn't disastrous. Did Dylan Stewart eat our lunch? Yes, in many ways he did. But we didn't allow him to just skull drag us for the entire game. So you give Tyree Adams a lot of credit. Weston Davis had some really low moments in this game, but we did a good job at times giving him some help. But honestly, I don't like to talk too much about offensive line play until the film study, because obviously it's really hard to evaluate offensive line play while the game is moving on. Now, let's talk about Garrett Nussmeier. Let's start with the good from Garrett Nussmeier. This was better to me than what he did versus Ole Miss. Okay. It was better. Now, there's a lot of different reasons we could point to as to why it was better. The extra week, it allowed him to get a little bit healthier. But the red zone turnover was so bad. And we were live when it actually happened. So for those that don't know, we do a pregame show that ends up being a live stream of the entire first half. Then we do a halftime show that ends up being a live stream of basically the entire second half. So the only breaks I take are at the end of quarter. So we are live during games thanks to our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and Labor Therapy. That red zone turnover. I don't know how Garrett Nussmeier keeps one-upping himself on these red zone turnovers. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. It makes no sense to throw that football. None. It is one of the worst INTs. The safeties were back on the RPO. The safeties were back. You should not throw that ball. And what makes it even worse is that we just had the Juwan Johnson long run from a few plays ago. So the run game had some momentum. And before the INT, Juwan had a decent run on first for 3 or 4 yards. So that is one of the worst Garrett Nussmeier red zone turnovers. And I'm sick and tired of saying it every damn live stream. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. So sick of it. You cannot throw that INT. And there were other misses in the second half. So there's going to be a good fortune of you that watch a film study tomorrow. We'll actually break that down. I don't like breaking down specific plays in post-game lives because you have the film study where I'm showing you the play. This is more so the conversational part of this. We then get into Brian Kelly. Holy crap. This was better than Ole Miss. This was better from a coaching perspective. Now, we have got to have a conversation about the timeouts. What are we doing? Okay, so the first timeout that pissed me off was the first one of the second half. You prefer to take the 5-yard penalty. Okay, it looked like we had Jelani Watkins on the field. And Tre'Davious Green was trying to scoot him up to get on the line of scrimmage. He didn't do it. So that made sense that Brian Kelly yelled at Cortez Hankton, which then turned into a timeout. So that is not good. It's still on Brian Kelly, though, because every game we have these timeouts where we can't do basic things right. Line up. Line up. Line up. Okay? Then, the next thing. It's Beamer ball. You better be ready for fake punts. And we got out of the fake punt that we gave up on a technicality. That was a really bad call from the white hat. That was a really bad call that went in our favor. Was it the home field advantage that gave us that call? Maybe so. I think we're going to have another full year of South Carolina fans bitching about the refs. We're going to have a full year. But here's the thing, if you're a South Carolina fan watching this. This is the peak of your program. You have yourself a really good coach in Shane Beamer. But the only thing South Carolina fans are known for is bitching about refereeing. That's why you haven't beat LSU since 1994. Since President Clinton. That was the last time you beat LSU. In 1994, we were listening to Sony Walkmans. 1994. But we're going to hear it all this offseason. Oh, my God. The referee screwed us. They did on that play. But there's no telling how the next set of downs would have gone. It would have probably been another three and out.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Because you don't have Mansoor Delane on your team. We do. We do. Okay? So, look, we can have a conversation about that bad call. We could talk about it ad nauseum. It was a shitty call. I will tell you straight up. The LSU defense, though, is so damn good. We cannot waste this defense, but we are going to. Because offensively, we have a quarterback who wants to throw the football to the other team in the red zone. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay? Now, let's talk about the wide receiver play. This was a different game plan. Okay? So, if you're a patron, you would have had access to what the offensive line was going to look like. It was Cohen Echols at left guard. And Weston Davis at right tackle. I do believe LSU was more open to switching some guys in and out. But they decided to stick with it, which I wasn't a huge fan of. I probably would have continued rotating and taking guys out and seeing some different things. But I also understand in the flow of the game, the offensive line, do you really want Kerryus Kern going up against the best edge rusher we will face this season? Okay, now, R. Mason Thomas is probably a more complete player than Dylan Stewart, but I get it. I totally get why they stuck with what they stuck with. I probably would have made a change, but I get it. We get to the running back room, all right? The LSU running backs had a good night. They had a good night. I'm interested to see what the Caleb Jackson situation looks like. He didn't play tonight. To the point where early in the game, they put walk-on Malachi Lane. We're not talking about in the third quarter where a few other guys were popping out. We put Malachi Lane early into the game. Early. It is a colossal failure that we did not get a transfer portal running back. It is holding this team back that we did not get a transfer portal running back. It really is. It really, really, really is. All these other teams went and got transfer portal running backs. And I'm not talking about Ahmad Hardy, who, by the way, was playing at ULM. That's a special transfer portal running back. He's special. I'm just talking about someone we know is good. And this is after Kanan Durham had a good game tonight. And Juwan Johnson did some good things. Of course, the goal line fumble was huge, but he did some good things. So the running back room is a bit of a mess, though. The wide receiver rotation is a bit of a mess. And then we get into the Chris Hilton drop, which was big. It was a big play. So you had the Chris Hilton drop, and then Garrett made some really bad quarterbacking mistakes. Downright atrocious quarterbacking mistakes after that. Also fumbled late in the game a quarterback sneak. So would I consider making a quarterback change? Yes, I would. I don't think this was a bad game by Garrett. I really don't. But he is playing at a way lower level than what he did last season, where he was very good. Okay? But now you're getting a quarterback with a supporting cast that is a little bit weaker. And you have a quarterback that still, it's gotten worse now. The turnovers have gotten worse. They have gotten worse. And he was up limping for so much of this game. So there you go. I'm done ranting. We're going to get to all your super chats. We're going to get to all your questions. It is indeed late. But first, we'll go to Brandon R. Actually, let's go to the very top. Cliff says, can LSU keep Blake Baker another year? He's going to have a lot of feelers out for what he wants to do. He currently makes well over $1 million, $2 million, excuse me, to be a coordinator. There's not many better jobs in football coaching than being a coordinator and getting well over $2 million. And considering his wife's family is from Louisiana. Now, here's the thing. John Summerall is probably taking a P4 job. And then that Tulane job will open up. And that's got Baker's name written all over it. I think that would be one of their first calls. It would make a lot of sense for all parties involved. But even then, I could see Blake Baker saying no to that. But this isn't a stream to talk about that. We have an all off season to do that. Bryant Miner, good to see you. Samuel, M. Cortman, Clifford, Rex, Dr. B, Thunder Road. We keep it moving. Ultra Raider. Okay, I'm going to call you out. I don't like the you profile photo. I prefer the dog. I remember when you had a, it was like a husky or something like that. Speaking of husky, Nuss looks overweight and out of shape, says Ultra Raider. That run gassed him. Flat tire. More like a flat tire. I could use a fat tire beer right now. Huh? I prefer my quarterbacks being a little thicker. I do. I do think for me, as far as Garrett is concerned, and look, I'm done guessing his injury status. I really am done guessing. I think LSU is kind of frustrated with it as well. And by LSU, I'm not necessarily meaning Brian Kelly. There are some at LSU who are just kind of tired of it, this conversation. Because the thing is, it helps Garrett out because he is a starter. He's our captain and all those different things. But the injury did not cause him to throw the red zone INT. All right. The Chris Hilton underthrow versus Ole Miss pissed me off. The red zone INTs pissed me off even more. Now, even though Garrett is not the fleetest of foot, his runs were really good tonight. Were there some other opportunities I think he could have put the foot on the gas and ran? Yeah, for sure. But This is the thing, and we welcome Peter to the channel. We always want first timers to feel welcome. Peter, I agree. There are some throws that make you go, hey, he's hurt. But you being hurt does not change the fact that your defense has played unfreaking believably well in this game. I'm not talking about the season. That could be taken into account as well, but your defense has played unfreaking believably well in this game. This game, not the next game, this game. And you are up 17-10, and you just had a long-ass run. And then you had a decent run on first down. And a field goal really puts this game away. It really does. And you throw a pick. That is not an injury-related thing. The pick he threw in the first half, not an injury-related thing. The overthrow to Xavion before the INT. It's not an injury-related thing. It's not. Oh, Ultra, I didn't mean to bring that up. Oh, my God. The Husky passed away. That always made me excited, though. I wouldn't have brought it up if I would have known that. But it's good to have you back in the chat. Her name was River. In fact, I remember you emailing me a few photos. Okay. Let's go to this. Jed says, Hilton dropped easy passes. He hasn't had many catches. Well, for one, Chris has been underthrown quite a bit. He has drawn some pass interferences as well, so you give him credit there. Why keep Chris Hilton and lose CJ Daniels? Well, that wasn't really LSU's decision as far as CJ is concerned. They would have loved to have had CJ back. He was fed up. I'll tell you that straight up. Because they were paying CJ well to come here. He was making well into the six figures. He went to Miami and he's blown up. He's had a great season. But Chris, I'll say it again. And dude, people go so unfreaking believably crazy when I bring up Chris Hilton criticism. Oh my goodness, you can't ever have a decent conversation about Chris Hilton. You just can't do it. You just can't because people get pissed. It's okay to admit he's not great. He's a fine player who is wildly inconsistent. I mean, wildly. You know something else about his drop tonight? He was falling down. He can't keep his feet. He's got bad hands. He fumbles. Can't catch. Very inconsistent catcher. And it's frustrating because if you watch him catch passes in practice, he is snatching the football out of the air. Okay? That's why it's part of why his recruiting ranking was so high. His speed was insane. And when you actually watch him 7-on-7 or anything like that, he's amazing. But when it's time to actually play football, it's either he's going to drop it or he's going to catch it. And the drops happen way too much. Okay, if we were to go count how many Chris Hilton jump balls, deep passes we've actually completed compared to incompleted or not completed, if you will, the numbers would be a lot more concerning than one would think. Okay. Does he still deserve playing time? Yes. He also wasn't playing a whole heck of a lot early in this game anyway. There was a heavy wide receiver rotation. I will say, okay, and there was whispers surrounding this. This game plan was wildly different for LSU. Okay. This was a huge trade S game, obviously, but there wasn't a whole lot of touches to really Xavion or Barry on in this game. And the problem is this LSU offense still doesn't have an identity. What is our go-to run play? Don't know. Who is our go-to receiver? Don't know. Who's our go-to top three receivers? Don't know. Okay. And part of the Tre'Davious Green equation is, and this was such a good piece of coaching by LSU. I do not want Tre'Davious Green playing a traditional tight end role. Okay. I want him as a big slot wide receiver. I want him on the field for almost every single red zone rep we have. Okay. Do not ask him to be a tight end. He is a receiver that's only classified as a tight end because he's 6'7". Keep throwing him the ball. Let's not ask him to block on the outside for screens. It's not his strength. Let's not get an extra hat in the run game and have him as an extra blocker. It's not his game. He is Kyle Pitts with a little less yak ability, but taller and a bigger catch radius. Okay? Use him that way. And I give Joe Sloan a lot of credit. And honestly, Brian Kelly a lot of credit. So Tre'Davious came out, and he was by far our best player on offense. Hunter says, I don't know anything about the LSU offense. They're just on the field. I love it. Okay. Now, I'm going to get to a few other.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Larger picture things. We do have Vanderbilt around the corner. We will probably be a slight favorite. I think that'll be the biggest shocker when the lines are dropped tomorrow. LSU as a slight favorite over Vanderbilt, which I would not put it like that. I think LSU will be a 1.5-point favorite over Vandy. Vanderbilt coming off a bye. Vanderbilt has the latest bye week in the SEC. The latest first bye week in the SEC, them and Mississippi State. So you get a little unlucky there that you got to go on the road. This was a late game. At least you're not flying back home from another road game. It is a late game where when everything is settled, everyone's going to be getting home and going to bed around like 2 or 3 in the morning. Okay? So, LSU, after playing this game, will be getting Vanderbilt after a bye week. And Vanderbilt still has everything to play for. We still have everything to play for. Their offense is better than our offense. Our defense is probably way better than their defense. So Vanderbilt coming off a bye. I don't know who's going to be favored. I don't know. Jordan coming in hot, 8-4. Shanika thinks LSU is going to be a 7.5-point favorite. Shanika, are you kidding me? Welcome to the channel. LSU, do you really think LSU is going to be a 7.5 point favorite? Welcome to the channel, Ryan. Trade Ez is a matchup nightmare. I love it. If you're a tight end and you're 6'6 and above, everyone's always going to consider you a nightmare. Welcome to the channel, Ryan. I love it. A bunch of soft players offensively. I don't think soft is a way to describe it. I think lacking confidence and belief and direction, sure. Mr. B says, LSU needs lots of luck. Rex says, this team sucks. Sucks? Rex, I don't know if I can get to sucks. I think that's bold to say sucks. Do you really want to say that LSU sucks? You could say they're not great. There are aspects of this team that sucks. Yeah, sure. But this is a 5-1 team. I don't think I can get to sucks. I don't. Jonathan says we are 5-1, but we feel like we're 3-3. Yeah, I think that's fair. I really do think that's fair. Chad says we have no more wins coming. I don't think sucks applies to LSU though. I really don't. I do think that's a little hot takey. And I don't mind a good hot take. Do I think we have played the weaker SEC teams on our schedule? Sure. I'm glad we got Florida when we got them. They're playing a lot better now, even though they did lose tonight. We obviously caught Ole Miss in a bad spot. Dear Lord, they looked bad today. But as we always do, we take a look at the yard per play numbers, and boom, LSU averaged 6.7 yards per play tonight. Definitely our best mark of the season, and we actually hit that 7 yard per play number. That was the first time we've hit that in a while, and that's what happens when you hit explosives. And I wanted to save this portion of the stream for one player in particular, who all he's done, all this player has done, all he's done in his career at LSU is do the right thing. He's not complained. He's not really been a diva, according to my quote-unquote sources. And he's just been a backup for years. Part of a recruiting class where the talk of the wide receiver class was everyone but him. And all he was a 17-year-old three-star when he committed to us who caught 23 passes in a single game. Our slot wide receiver goes out, and what does Kyle Parker do? He steps up in a big, 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 big way. So I want to dedicate an entire portion of the stream, and I wanted to save it for when we had more people in here. That's normally how streams go. Kyle freaking Parker deserves all the love. 5 catches, 75 yards, a long of 43 on the slant. Do a lot of his catches go for hardly anything? Yes. But so far this season, as a true slot wide receiver, what has he done? We ran Hoss Juke for a touchdown versus Southeastern to get Michael Van Buren's confidence going. Then he takes this slant ball to the house. Then last year caught Garrett Nussmeier's best ever deep throw versus UCLA. And then all he does is block his ass off. That's what he does for this team. Blocks his ass the freak off. Really, really, really good stuff from Kyle Parker. A true grinder. Because when he was coming in, it was all about Jaylen Brown. And it was all about Shelton Sampson. But Kyle Parker is the last one standing, and he's going to get the last laugh here. What a tutty. 43 yards. And look at that. Of these 75 yards that he got tonight, 57 were after the catch. It was also nice to see Tre'Davious Green with 39 yards after the catch. Yaks aren't really his thing. So, something else. South Carolina. Their leading receiver was Nicholas Harbor with 36 yards. Vindarius Jacobs, 18 yards. He had over 100 yards in each of the last two games. Run game. One long 72-yard run. And I know it gets frustrating when analysts do this, and I do it, everybody does it. You take the 72-yarder out. It's 44 carries for 111, which is basically less than 3 yards per carry. Or less than 4 yards per carry, whatever the math is. It was an amazing defensive performance from the LSU defense. It really, really, really was. Sweet Caroline says, Yusha with the super chat. Penn State sucks. Like I've said, it could be a lot worse. It could be a whole hell of a lot worse. You could be Penn State right now. Penn State fans, oh man, they have gone through it. They have gone through it. Their playoff wins fraudulent last year. Their entire season fraudulent. They lose their quarterback for the season, and they lose to Northwestern today. Thank you for your super chat, Yusha. Now, Chuck wants to know, is there any chance we see Michael Van Buren next week versus Vanderbilt? Any chance? I'll tell you what I think after this. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, Did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563 or visit fortifiedgulf.com. That's FortifiedGulf.com. Let's go. All righty, and a quick word from our friends at Laborde Therapy. A special shout out to Thomas and the team. Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaboredTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaboredTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaboredTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region. Alrighty, so you know, I cannot get over how big the red zone INT was from Garrett Nussmeier tonight. It is up there, okay? And I'm tired of now having Garrett Nussmeier be a guy that we're starting to remember him more for the INTs than the great plays. And yes, the Clemson game that he played was fantastic. And we don't win the game with him playing as great as he did versus Clemson. He didn't have a big turnover in that game. But, you know, I don't mind your legacy being one of you being aggressive. I really, really, really don't mind it. But with this team, you would be better served with someone like Danny Etling. Now, Danny Etling would never be considered to be a better quarterback than Garrett Nussmeier. But Danny Etling only had two turnovers, two INTs on the season, okay? And one of them was versus a Nick Saban Alabama defense. I'm not saying Danny Etling is better than Garrett Nussmeier, but Danny Etling is never throwing the INTs that Garrett has thrown this season, in the red zone in particular. It is getting to the point where you just simply cannot win with it unless your defense plays like the steel damn curtain. The defense didn't play that way versus Ole Miss. They played good enough to win. So at this point, we thought going into the season that Garrett, by the end of this year, would at the very least be far and away the third best quarterback of this era, whether it be Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Garrett Nussmeier. We felt pretty confident about that after the Clemson game. But it's bad right now, y'all. It is bad. And this game, he did a lot of good, too. He did a lot of good. The Chris Hilton drop changes the complexion of the game. That throw still could have been better, though. It's still 98% on Chris. You still got to make that catch. It still could have been better. God, dude, the turnovers are so bad, and they always seem to be in plus territory. Why? Why? Well, you don't have QB run game, and you can't run the ball. So what happens? Well, when you don't have QB run game, and you can't run the ball, and you can't throw it deep, when you get into the red zone, the field is already being more compressed. So these tight window, put the thread through the eye of the needle type of throws become way harder. And then you have a quarterback believing that that is the only way he can even beat a defense. It's a problem. It is a massive, massive, massive problem, Garrett Nussmeier. And I really don't know what you can do at this point other than make a switch. All right. You do need to start thinking about it. Thinking about it. You did win. So I do think you should roll with Garrett going into Vanderbilt. But if he sputters again versus Vanderbilt, you need to consider it. You really, 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 really do need to consider it. It's a problem, man. It is a massive problem. Sellers is a slippy rhinoceros. Like All right, here's what we're going to do. In the next 5 to 10, I'm going to take as many super chats as we possibly can, as many comments as we possibly can. There's a lot of people in here, okay? If you super chat, we'll keep it going. Once again, we've been live for 4.5 hours now. I want to keep it going. Let's go to Kenny. One of our many members. You can join our YouTube membership, have a little insignia next to your name. If Nuss was healthy coming into this game, I don't know if he is anymore. He got beat up and he was limping. Let's go to Sibley, who always calls it like it is. Nuss has not really improved, but let's win with him. Nuss is not that good. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. He's disappointed me in many ways. He's disappointed me. I thought he was better than this. I really did. And it's hard because it's not like it's entirely his fault. That is not what I'm saying at all. And I feel some of the peripherals, whether it's the offensive line having massive issues, the play calling having massive issues, the wide receiver rotation being horrendous. There's a lot of these things that you can point to that's holding Garrett Nussmeier back. But now Aaron is not there. Now Kyle played really well in place of Aaron. Okay. But it's so bad. It is so bad right now. Let's go to JJ. He says, how do I rank Montour Delane as an overall LSU defensive back? Well, he's the best DB on our team. Halsey's up there as well. This was a quiet Halsey game, but he was still good. It didn't make really any mistakes. But you're talking about in terms of the all-time greats, obviously, There's a group of untouchables that would be impossible for him to reach in just one season. But if you were to replicate, if he can't come back now, but if he were to come back and play an extra season, I mean he would be up there. He would. The best since Stingley, for sure. I would say he's better than Christian Fulton. I would say he's better than Greedy Williams. And then you get into like the Morris Claiborne conversation. Because Delane very well could win the Thorpe this year. He still has a good shot of winning it. I think he has a good shot of being a finalist at the very least. So it is nice that somebody is back in the saddle, if you will. A good super chat as well. Boo the God says, great defense, soft head coach, and a sorry fifth-year QB. Marcus says, I'm scared every time Nuss throws. The thing is the game from Garrett Nussmeier went from okay to very bad with the red zone INT. That's how bad of a decision it was. Yeah, Tre'Davious White was probably better, but it's difficult because he's only here for a year. He's been the best corner in CFB, though. He's been the best corner. So he's at a Peterson level this year. I'll tell you this. I can't wait to watch his Georgia film because based on everything that Sibley was saying in the chat, it was sounding like Auburn was going to run away with it. Bro, there is nothing like this sport. Cold out, yeah, coming in hot. Alarm sign, crawfish. Alarm sign, crawfish. Alarm sign, crawfish. Alarm sign, crossfish. Crossfish. Alarm sign, crawfish. Never bad. No, he won't ever catch Patrick Peterson. And I don't know if a corner ever will catch Patrick Peterson. Oh, yeah. I watched the game, Henry. It was a great game. Tennessee, Arkansas was a great, great game. There's a lot of great games today in the SEC. Texas, Oklahoma. In a being ugly, but it was a close game for a good bit. Texas still in the playoff hunt here. Then Florida A&M was on at the same time. That looked like an entertaining game. But I'm going to share the stat. It's going to sound like a broken record. But we are still the only team in the SEC to not score 24 points in a single FBS game this year. Now let that sink in. Let that sink in, y'all. We cannot score. The only SEC team. And versus a Power 4 team, the most points we have scored in a game is 20. That is the most we have scored in a Power 4 game. Not three touchdowns. How does that happen? Les would have scored 24 at least twice by now. And I know, according to Brian Kelly, I should be grateful for where we are. I don't think anybody is ungrateful. I don't. You've done an overall good job to get us to where we are right now. I'll take it. But that is unacceptable. Unacceptable in so many different ways. We were up 17-10. Long Juwan Johnson run. Can't house it, which is fine. Then it's for some we can't get to 24. Jack Bauer would never step foot into Tiger Stadium. Okay, that was lame. But we can't get to 24. We just simply cannot do it. And that hurts. That hurts. Okay? We've got to find a way to score more points. And it goes back to what we have said all season long. There is nothing we do great. The only elite thing we have had all season was Tre'Davious Green tonight. And even that had some rough patches. So it's frustrating. How many other elite offensive things we have seen? Is there anything? Kanan Durham did some really great things tonight. I thought the Jack Bauer joke would have hit a little bit harder. I thought this would be a good sitcom. Let's go to Austin. It was so good. His comment is so good. He commented 7 times. We got a 7 spot. Not in zone out, seeing if the Brian Kelly presser started. Did Eccles do enough tonight to confirm a starting role? No. I think that's going to be fluid. Let's go here. Okay, and we got post-game audio. All right. late night.
We won the game. That was a good thing. Winning games is a good thing.
Coach, despite the uneven performance on offense, how big was that last drive to salt away the game and take it?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, we all watched the game. I was pleased with some things that we did that we hadn't been doing. We ran the ball with much more effectiveness, right? We got the ball to Tre'Davious Green. I was pleased about that. But certainly, you know, you can't get down on the 1 yard line three times and come up with 3 points. And I think we all know that. But what I loved was our compete. I loved the way our guys competed for four quarters. Our fans stayed in there with us. Look, it is what it is. Find a way to win. And tonight we found a way to win, even though we had some mistakes out there that could at some time be catastrophic and we're going to have to eliminate them. But the bottom line is I love the way the kids competed today.
Just continuing competition. Talk about, I guess, just the defense being able to, I guess, stay with Lenore Sellers for a majority of the party. Got loose a couple of times. What is that pretty much what you expected?
Yeah, we needed to, and I think I said this maybe on Thursday's press conference, when we get to him, we got to make sure he feels us. And, you know, obviously he's an extraordinary athlete, and we missed a lot of tackles where if we run our feet and do the things we're supposed to do, we probably tackle more. But he felt this today. You know, he felt our football team. He felt our defense. And we made it tough for him. You know, we made it a physical game where he was clearly, you know, we got after him. And he did some really good things as well. But at the end of the day, we kept him to 10 points. And I think that's what we were hoping for.
Nussmeier's aggression in this game just ripped the ball downfield like he didn't hesitate, like he wasn't thinking that much, just really playing. Is that what you saw?
Yeah, I thought he was a lot more aggressive. I thought, you know, he had that kind of demeanor that you're looking for in your quarterback. We want to clean up some things, obviously, the mishandled snaps, and, you know, we can't turn the ball over down there. But, look, he's competing his tail off for us. And so we're not perfect. You know, we're a work in progress. We'll have to be better next week. But again, I kind of look at it as we know where our issues are. They're not hidden. Like, we got to clean up we can't give up a 75 yard run, right? You know, we've got to fit that the right way. We've got to be in better position, obviously, on some of the things that we did in terms of the running game. But bottom line is, against an SEC opponent, we held them to 10 points. And really, except for our own mistakes, we controlled the flow of the game.
Yeah, just to kind of build on that a little bit. First quarter there, you guys are driving, looking like you're going to go up 10-0, and then they get the fumble and the big long run, but you follow it up with the touchdown drive to really kind of take control back.
Yeah.
What did you think about that sequence and how your guys were able to respond?
I think that's exactly what I was talking about. I didn't think that there was any time where, even though we made mistakes, you know, you can begin to question yourself and your confidence, but they kept playing. And I told them that. I said, listen, we got plenty of time to go over the things that we got to correct on Monday. Everybody's going to remind you about them anyway. So I'm not going to do that right now. All I'm going to comment on is I love the way you competed. You kept playing regardless of what happened. And there were some things that were catastrophic, if you will. You know, fumbling on the goal line, giving up a 75-yard run. Those are catastrophic mistakes, but they overcame them and they kept playing. That's a great thing. I'm going to build off of that, and we're going to clean up the other things.
Coach, the words building off of, you guys have obviously had the turnovers, but the way your offense was able to move the ball, how much of that has been a good sign for getting this offense going in the right direction?
It's a better sign. There's no doubt. Again, I think if we were much more efficient in the red zone, certainly if we took care of the football, there were some things that we just have to clean up that they're very fixable. And if we fix those things, this offense can play to the level of its defense, and that's what we need to get to. If we can get both groups playing to that same level consistently, we had some really good moments there offensively, but not consistent enough, and that's what we'll go back to work on.
Was there a point in the game, I don't know what your expectations were coming in.
Winning.
But was there a point when you said, okay, this is going to be ugly, let's just get out of it with a win? Was there a point in the game?
Well, it was pretty clear that we made some mistakes. What was most important for me was to keep the guys up on the sideline positive, You know, whether we didn't hook up on a play down the field, or we put the ground on put the ball on the ground, or threw a pick, it was, look, put that behind you, get to the next play. And so really it was a lot of management on the sideline, so we didn't have guys, you know, feeling sorry for themselves. And they didn't. That's why I'm pretty excited, right? That they just kept fighting and kept playing, and we'll work hard on cleaning up those errors.
In the back, Coach, a big addition with Tredez Green, a healthy Tredez Green.
Yes.
What did you see from him?
He's pretty good at football. I don't know about the basketball thing. I'll let Matt decide that. But clearly, he's a mismatch, right? You know, you can throw fade balls to him. He can catch the ball on quick game. He's a unique talent. And we need to continue to feature him in our offense. He's got to be part of it.
Ryan, this is the commitment to the run game. You guys average 5.5 per touch, I guess, and just able to break a couple of big ones. How big is Caden Bean in that mix, kind of make that?
Yeah, I think he was helpful. Obviously, Juwan had the big run, you know, down the sideline. I just think that we were a little bit more deliberate in some of the plays. We were getting a wide nine to the field with six. Stewart, who's an elite pass rusher, who made it difficult, but it opened up some running lanes for us. So we were able to take advantage of those things. You know, if there was anything that we could do differently, it would just be cleaner with our short yardage run game.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned the fight of this team. Garrett went down right before the second half.
Yes.
For him to come back after Cooley's interception.
Yep.
What do you say about him fighting through the rest of the game?
Yeah, again, you guys are answering, you know, the same things that I was answering in my own mind. Is like, look, you know, we could feel sorry for ourselves. You know, we got guys banged up. We, you know, we lost two defensive ends in the game. You know, Butler was out, who else was out? Oh, no, it was good. And we were down some guys, and they just kept battling. That's what I'm proud of those guys. And they just kept fighting and came out with a victory.
On the goal line interception, is that just an RPO that Garrett decides to keep and just wasn't the right decision there? Like, could you sort of explain that play a little bit?
It's an RPO, and he's responsible for the safety who picked it off. Does that answer it? Without laying any blame, it's a bad call.
You know, I guess with Nuss, is there anything that you'd like to see him, you know, improve upon?
Yeah, I want him to take care of our short yardage running game. We had two fumble snaps out of direct snap. We've got to be able to be clean there. I don't want to take a timeout in that situation when, you know, we have a particular play on. He knows what they are, and he's going to work at them. And now that we've got him over the hump in terms of throwing the football, you know, we'll clean up some of the little things that are required. We got away with some of those things today. We're not going to get away with them later. And he knows that, and he'll be better because of it. I'm sorry. Yeah, we had troubles with both snaps on the goal line. Yeah.
Halfway through the season, you only lost one game. Are you excited about the potential of the team if the offense cleans up these handful of mistakes and starts scoring points with the potential of the team?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we saw the bits and pieces that we were looking for. Now we got to put it together. It's not good enough to say, hey, we've arrived. We certainly have not. And we've got to do some things better on defense as well. You know, some coverage things, some fits. But look, Norris Sellers is a difficult guy to corral. But we have to be cleaner in the scoring zone. You know, as I mentioned, Jacques, three times inside the five to come up with three, those things are catastrophic. So we got to clean those up. We clean those up, we're moving in the right direction.
You mentioned a couple of the guys who went out. Is there any update on Jamari or Bernard?
No, they were sent for imaging. So we'll have a better feel for those guys probably Monday.
From your point of view, could you noticeably tell Garrett's arm was better, sharper,
yeah,
zipped?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, and we knew that going into the game because of, you know, we track the football with a GPS, and his numbers were up. So we felt really good about that. Look, we're going to he's going to get better. You know, he's healthy now and feeling good. You know, he's got a little bit of an ankle. We'll see how that goes. But I think the better days are ahead for him.
Hey, what does it say about your conditioning? I mean, y'all chased that guy all night long, and still the fourth quarter, it didn't look like you were worn out.
No, I mean, he's a difficult player to play against, and that's why he was regarded as the top quarterback in the country by many, and you can see why. But I'm proud of the way our guys attacked him. You know, we made him feel us today. He will leave here feeling the game against LSU.
Coach, you talked about the ankle injury, so obviously the mobility got a little bit hampered. But before that, he was really decisive running the ball as well. How
yes.
much did that really open up the offense?
Yeah, it did. I mean, obviously, you know, running for a first down, being, you know, I think in a mindset that he was going to do whatever was necessary for us to continue to move the chain. So it was great to see that. And he knows that he's got to continue to do that.
Brian, from a vision perspective, do you think from your running back group, this was the best night they've had this season in terms of seeing the holes and hitting them?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought we were pretty disciplined. There was a couple early on, but other than that, you know, I think now it's about breaking a couple of tackles. We had some single tackles that got us down on the ground. I think some of those guys would say, I got to get through those tackles, but it was improvement. You know, I'm not ready to say that we've, you know, arrived, but there were strides that were made tonight. And those are things that we're going to build off of. Thank you.
It's so nice that there were some things that LSU discovered in its run game. And I understand the Juwan run was big, but at least we saw something running the football. Okay. Now we know it was Garrett's fault, a gazillion percent on the red zone INT. Coach said it. Okay. It's not just my opinion. Yeah. And honestly, what something else he needs to improve on is just the intermediate move the chain aspect part of playing tight end. I wish someone asked BK about the incompletion on the first drive of the game. You're a BK hater. Huh? Yeah, pressure was good. He didn't jump down anyone's throat. Let's go to Pete on Twitter. For every good thing Garrett did tonight, he had an equally awful play. The red zone INT can happen knowing the situation. Field goal puts LSU up by 2 scores. So why didn't Kerryus Kern play tonight? Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know. I really, 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 really don't know. It wasn't a horrible game from Weston Davis, especially considering the matchup. It still wasn't great. And Cohen Echols had a tough game. Josh Thompson had a tough game. I think overall, Tyree and Braylon were fine. I do. But out of 650 qualifying offensive tackles, the TeamWorks analytics company that works with ESPN has Weston Davis graded 620th out of 650 possible right tackles who have played this season. 620 out of 650. Then, last year, our starting center, who played more snaps than anybody on the team, there were 250 centers that had PFF grades. And depending on how you do the snap share, our center last year was like 220th. So Clint says we are 1.5 point underdogs next weekend. Yeah, I mean, here's the problem with that, though, Wade, is yes, the offensive line is really bad. But you still can't, it's more than just that final red zone INT. It's more than this, than just the INT earlier. God bless. I still can't believe Indiana went to Autzen and won today. Insane, bro. Insane. What a W. Yeah, Joshua doesn't say anything, really. It's just, you know, one QB developed into one of the best of all time and the other regressed. You know, it doesn't really say, there's nothing you could really point to, really, about like overarching quarterback development. What's a problem? All right, y'all. That will just about do it for me. It's about time for me to hit the film room. Let's go to Jenkins. Carter, what does Diego Pavia bring to the table that Sellers doesn't? If anything, the missed tackles Pyburn had on Sellers, he probably isn't missing it. Yeah, exactly. You know, we brought this up in the live. That is such a difficult tackle for any defensive end. But if Jack Pyburn was sitting right here, he would tell you, hey, I need to bring those guys down in that spot. And he wasn't the only one that missed tackles on Sellers. So what does Pavia bring to the table? Well, Pavia will be at home. Pavia will... obviously, he's not as athletic. I haven't watched as much Pavia this year as I have Sellers. Sellers had been a lot better in the pocket in some of these other games that he's played. But this LSU's defense is better than Missouri's defense, which is good. They put up a fight against Alabama today. I think tonight had more to say about the LSU defense than it did Sellers. Pavia's offensive line is also better, which is weird because Vanderbilt has had some atrocious offensive lines, which is normally the case. The bottom-tier schools, the issue with these bottom-tier schools aren't normally the skill guys, it's the linemen. The line is somewhat experienced with Vanderbilt. Oh, Henry, are you a Power Hour SEC guy? Yeah, well, the Tennessee Film Studies actually started on it earlier. It's going to go up here in about an hour. So, Henry, you're going to have to watch it because I've worked hard on it. But I had to cut it off to get ready to do my LSU stuff. It's kind of crazy Cam Newton had his jersey retired tonight. Can't wait for them to do that with Joe Burrow. Pavia on that AARP, baby. Let's go. Nothing wrong with that. Don't you dare hate on the AARP. Don't you dare hate on it. Oh, thank you for the punchy. Thank you for the punchy. Let me ask you this. I saw this photo here from Preston Guy. And I want you to be honest. Are you have you ever gotten this pissed drunk at an LSU game? These guys either drink too much water or spent too much time watching LSU's offense. Have you ever gotten this drunk at an LSU game? Type Y for yes, type N for no. You've never gotten that drunk I think have I gotten so pissed drunk that at an LSU game I don't remember a whole lot? Yes, it was the LSU Mississippi State game where Craig Lawston had that pick six for 100 yards. That was the nastiest backdoor cover in a very long time. And definitely the nastiest backdoor LSU cover. Major Burns had one versus Missouri, the Jaden Daniels Heisman year as well. And I was so drunk. I went to a tailgate where they had like premium Abitas flavors that they had not even released yet. And I was just mixing all those beers together. And I was sloshed. And I said, I'm never getting this drunk at an LSU game. Now, I do want to address this for those that were at the game. I know Mike was there. I see a few others that were at the game that are in the chat right now. And I bring this up because a few South Carolina fans brought this up, and their nighttime experience at South Carolina games, so damn electric. It really is. But the stadium did look empty. Now, it was still loud. It's still such a ferocious environment that it gets so loud that you just have penalty after penalty. The problems were more in the first half, but I do know that quite a few fans left at halftime. Okay? Now, as someone who does not go to a lot of games, the traffic is so brutal at the end of LSU games. It's not the only place where traffic is brutal at the end of games. It's 100 gazillion people leaving at the same time. With that said, there were an alarmingly high number of tweets with, hey, everybody's leaving by the third quarter. It was half full. And then, you know, it's always tough. This is a tweet from Scott Rabelais. I do think it falls on deaf ears a little bit from a media member who's paid to be at the game, who has Wi-Fi and is in a suite basically with so much food and drinks. It's always easier, right? You have to stay till the end and go to the press conference and all that stuff. But he's not the only other media member. There was other media members saying the same thing, and there was fans basically saying the same thing. The traffic's bad. It's not the funnest product to watch now. Defensive products are always a little bit more difficult on the eyes. Also, compared to other programs, night games aren't quite the scarcity they are like it is for quite a few other SEC programs. I will tell you this. We should be very fortunate we have all these night games. There have been, I'm not the source guy, but there have been some SEC coaches that have publicly and very much privately shared their displeasure with how many day games that they get compared to some of the other schools that get more night games. And we get more night games than all the others. So the thing is, if you play so many more night games, you don't have that same night game scarcity, right? We have only had night games at Tiger Stadium. We only have one morning kick at Tiger Stadium. That's later this season for the Arkansas game. So Kenny says casuals. Well, think about it this way, Kenny. Baton Rouge isn't the most centrally located city. So you have a lot of people, you know, driving in from Lafayette and further. There's guys and gals that drive in from Monroe and drive back right after the game. All right. Baton Rouge postgame traffic is hellacious. Dang, Damon. Coming in hot. Best drinking game is drink every time a Weeks brother blows an assignment and gets lost leaving the huddle. Damn, dude. God bless. Here's Nathan driving back from Mississippi. It's a problem, dude. It is a problem. And then you also got to factor in watch a game on your phone while you sit in traffic. You listen to, post-game shows. I like to think my post-game show does a good enough job informing the public of everything that happens in the game. So there is more entertainment, and you also have access to watching other games. It's the opposite, Damon. It's the opposite. The networks determine everything. Okay. Here's one way to fully explain it. Everyone that attends a game in Tiger Stadium, everyone that actually goes to the game, is making LSU so much money. Think about it. Every single person that goes to the game, there was a ticket that was purchased for that game. And then, of course, all the concessions and everything surrounding it. LSU is making a buttload of money from people actually attending the game. Well, guess what? The amount of people that attend the game is always the same. It's always going to be a sellout at Tiger Stadium. So depending on what time of night it is, if it's a day game, you sell more waters, right? Because it's hot. Still, you're still making a lot of money. You're still making a lot of money no matter what time the game starts. So the people that's really determining how much money they're going to make during the course of a game is the television networks. They pay the SEC a flat fee, and they need to do what they feel is best for them to generate the most revenue. So the TV networks, they pay the most. They're paying billions, and they're going to want to decide when the best time to play those games are. So, yeah. Now, big thanks to Ultra Raider, Yusha, and JJ for all of their support. We appreciate everyone that's tuned in for the live stream tonight. We get the W, and we move on. Film study will drop tomorrow morning at 8, and we'll see you then. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight, we are doing Lo Mein. Let's go. Let's go.